I don't know what makes good podcast. I've been on AON for a decade. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
What's everyone drinking?
Sadness.
Oh. What did you do?
Why?
So
you know you get to choose your own drink during COVID quarantine, right?
Yeah, as long as you're smart enough not to mouth off to the listeners about having convinced someone that you were drinking V8 and Monster together.
Oh yeah.
No.
What did you do?
That is the worst Bloody Mary ever.
It really, I can smell it, and it's not.
Tell us your recipe, James.
This is two shots of vodka, because I figured that vodka would mix pretty well with both of them.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, so I've got two shots of Sky Vodka. I've got half a can of Monster Energy low carb. This one has an ad for an Assassin's Creed game that I think is two back.
Which one? Origins?
Assassin's Creed Origins, yeah.
Yeah, that's two ago.
Yeah, so I bought that today.
Well, the second one hasn't come out yet, but it's been announced.
Yes.
Yep.
And then filling the rest of the glass with V8. So,
what kind of monster?
There's a lot of it.
What kind of monster was it?
Low carb. It's just blue.
Oh, just
low carb.
The straight up, like no, like
yeah. No frills
or anything like that. Okay.
Nope. This is about to happen.
All right. Have fun with that.
While he's chugging, Jenna.
I've got a vodka cran, but my vodka is a raspberry vodka, so it's got a little more fruit to it.
Ooh, it's got a resi cran.
Yeah.
James?
Oh.
Why did you know you could have just taken a sip and said, yeah, I'd drink
no,
all
no,
of that.
No, 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 I understand what he's doing here. He's trying to make it go away as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah? Oh, no, he's still going?
Okay.
No, he's stopping. He's catching his breath. Okay, here he goes again. Salsa, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Indeed Brewing Company's Lucy Session Sour.
Oh, how is that?
We'll find out. Exactly as advertised.
All right.
It is a session. It's got that. That session, you know, zing to it with the sourness that, yeah, it's exactly what I figured it would be.
All right. James?
Yeah.
I was about to say I'm really proud of you for finishing that, but I don't know that pride is the right feeling. Impressed? Might be the most positive spin I can put on that. I'm going to go with impressed. I'm impressed that you've finished all of that.
You have done good science here today, my friend.
The results of good science are not always good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you learn a negative.
Sometimes the beast you create eats you.
Jenna, what you been up to?
I started a yoga group. I was like, I should be doing more yoga, and I can't make myself do more yoga, so I should make other people make me do yoga. So then I started a yoga group. I haven't actually done it yet. The first one's tomorrow, but yep, I did that. Joe taught me how to grill over the weekend.
See, this genuinely shocked me. No,
yeah.
Well, just you've been a Ren rat for your, you know, like your whole life.
I've done a lot of open fire cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Or cooking on a propane stovetop.
Right.
But I've not done a lot of charcoal grilling.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a couple of hibachi things here and there, sure. But I just, overall, it's
and,
not.
And grilling. This is a stereotype, but a lot of a lot of Ren rats and in the Venn diagram, there's the Ren rats, and then there's like people who like to camp, and in that overlap is like a huge portion of those people know how to grill.
Sure.
So it surprised me.
There's a good
Makes
amount.
Sense.
A lot of the things that I would eat after hours at Fest weren't cooking because I didn't have a fire.
Mm.
So it kind of didn't matter. And then I did a lot of historical reenactments and worked Irish Cottage. So I learned how to cook on a hearth.
Sure.
Or over a fire.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the times that I've gone camping has been fire cooking, but not grilling. So
no, it makes sense. It really does. Yeah. It surprised me that was not included in it.
No,
it was an assumption I made about you. I assumed you were cooler than you are. Apparently,
oh, salsa.
Where's my leave button? I know it's over here somewhere. Oh, there it is.
Aw, Jenna left.
Well, you finally did it.
I did.
After years and years and years of trying.
Yep.
Oh, no.
I had to do
hey,
it.
Jenna.
Cast.
No, you. It was good commitment. I applaud you.
Oh. Thank you. So, anyway, and that's not to say that I haven't done grilling a couple of times, but that doesn't mean that I've done grilling, if that makes sense.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does.
I have put meat on a grill, and by meat, I mean hot dogs. So, it's really not that much. So, over the weekend, there was... I had my 5-year anniversary for work a few months back, and I got to select a prize from a list of prizes. And they're like, check out all of these fancy necklaces and have some designer sunglasses. Or check out these purses. And I'm just like, this is all garbage. You realize I am in the tech industry. It's not a for sure, but the majority of the chicks in the tech industry are going to want something a little more functional. But I could peruse a whole bunch of different things, and I'm like, I already have a power drill. I already have this.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, grill.
Yee.
I don't have a grill. So I got a grill for my 5-year anniversary present.
Cool.
And so, yeah, over the weekend, Joe and I put it together. And then on Saturday, which had a heat warning, heat index warning, we did a bunch of grilling. Because fuck us, why not?
Didn't even need to light the grill. They just put it out on the sidewalk.
The whole point was to use the grill, so we used the grill. But he did teach me a few things about, where to place charcoal so that you have a hot point and a low point, and
do the half and half thing.
Your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We made hamburgers, he had some tips like covering everything in olive oil,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
so that it doesn't stick to the grill.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have thought of that.
A mistake not to, and it is a mistake I have made many times.
Well, I haven't yet.
I treat the grill wires similar to how I do cast iron.
Kind of what I had in my head too.
That's kind of what I think of when I'm doing that. Is after I'm done, I clean it off. I do a layer of oil to protect, and then I'm
I don't think we did a layer of oil to protect, but meh, whatever.
It's probably stainless wiring, so it doesn't need protection, but that's the way I think
of it. It wasn't wiring. It was actual, like heavy-duty iron.
Mm, oh, really? Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's a good grill.
Yeah. I was pretty happy with it. Mm-hmm. It's not nice. Huge, but it's serviceable. I could do about 9 hamburgers at one time.
Okay.
That was my nickname in high school, and I can do about 9 burgers, too.
I believe that. Maybe 12 if you got them really cozy, but then there's flipping space and whatever. So, yeah. I mean, not huge, but definitely.
Well, and you don't want to crowd a grill either.
Right. I mean, that is just like
distance.
But yeah, so we made some burgers. We got some Polish sausage and grilled that up. And then we had flank steak.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Oh, buddy, yeah. Yeah.
Yummy.
So, yeah, we're grilling, and like, I go to flip a burger, and I'm all like, okay, so just you know, flip it into this spot or that spot. And I was like, and it started to slide a bit, and Joe was like, don't let the meat control you. You control the meat. Be a feminist.
Fuck.
And that is how you grill with Joe.
Be a feminist.
Yep.
Grill
oh, we also
with Joe.
Corn. Yeah, we also
grill with Joe.
You know, in a thing. So. Yeah,
nice.
So did grilling. Started rewatching Parks and Rec with Joe. Joe had never seen it. And I had stopped watching it after Bill died because that was the last thing he and I did together was watch an episode of Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Like a week before he passed. So it was like, no. But I've been in the mood for lighthearted, fun poking at government shit. So, you know, that's basically what Parks and Rec is there for.
Sure.
Yeah.
I have watched like 5 or 6 episodes of the first season.
Okay.
That's all the further I got.
This is another one of those shows where they go, don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't judge it by the first season.
And the thing is whenever anybody's like, you know, just skip the first season, I'm like, well, then I'm not watching it.
No, I like Joe and I watched all of season 1 and got into season 2. And I liked the first season. I thought it was fun. It does get even better.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't tell anybody to skip the
just
first season.
So much of it is that, like, The Office awkward humor that I just don't get.
Yeah, I understand what he's pointing to. Like, you have the person who is sort of maliciously written as a complete idiot, and they make mistakes, and the camera watches them make mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. It's kind of the meet the parents.
It's just painful.
I don't think anybody is a complete idiot in that thing, though. Well, okay, the Chris Pratt character is. But other than that, like,
there's
all
that.
The other characters have their strong points and their weak points. And I think that's one of the things that I actually love about Parks and Rec,
mm-hmm.
is that,
mm-hmm.
yeah, some of the characters are over the top in some of their stats.
Mm-hmm.
But they are still not just, you know, totally one thing or totally another. There's variable in there.
No, certainly. Yeah. I'm not. It wasn't as bad as The Office, but it for me had that similar feel of just like,
because I didn't like The Office.
Yeah, oh, I hated it.
I'm not a fan. But Parks and Rec,
I found it difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. Parks and Rec, I enjoyed, and it is because each one of those characters is a complete character.
I'm
even the Chris Pratt one.
Gonna go out on a limb and say that they started in an area that was very similar to, but not identical to, The Office, and then the characters grew up, and by about, I want to say, the middle of season 2, maybe season 3. They really hit their stride, and they just kept doing it well.
I would argue that they were still pretty good before that point. Like, I seriously, when I started watching Parks and Rec, fell in love with the characters instantly. Like, yeah, I And they did grow a lot over the course of the seasons, but you would also hope that would happen after seven seasons.
Right.
But no, like I instantly enjoyed the characters. And just got to know and love them more. Mm-hmm. I'm very, also it probably like people kept saying I was Leslie Knope. And so, like, yeah, there are things she's done that people just turn and look and be like, nah, nah. I'm like, yeah, fine, I would do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to make it clear that I don't dislike it. I just kind of didn't care.
Yeah, you didn't get into it, and that's fine. Yeah. What I dislike is the comparison to The Office, because I hated The Office.
That's fair.
And I understand it's got a similar style, but I think they're vastly different things. Like, style as in, like, cinematography and pacing type things.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, no, those things I agree with. Those are there, but I don't have a problem with those things. It's the comparison with The Office and the idea that, like, the characters are less fleshed out or the story isn't as good or blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah.
No, for me, it was a lot of the pacing and things like
that. Yeah. Sure.
I think comedically, they found the jokes that they want to tell. And I found it a lot more satisfying as it went on, just as Jenna said. I don't think it was a bad show to start with either. Okay. But the first season, I would say they're definitely finding their characters.
Maybe some, but I still don't think that's... It sounds like they're not there. When I hear it from you, and I'm like, no, they exist. Like, those characters are there. We just get to see more of them and get to know more of them, and they become more confident in being those characters. But, yeah. I will say, however, you get into season two... and there's a very specific comedian in season two that he showed up, and I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot he was in this. Well, this is awkward.
Yeah.
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 He played the character really good.
Yeah.
But there was one specific line. The actor is Louis C.K. So everything got real awkward watching it during season two. But there was one line that his character said was like, yes, I find her sexually attractive in a completely inappropriate way. And Joe and I were just kind of like, I mean, it was true to the character, but not
sure,
to
sure,
the actor.
Sure. Yep.
Just that didn't stand the test of time.
Weirdly similar to an experience that Bryn and I had with something that we're watching. Verbal bookmark placed for Sweet Seg later.
I mean, else, I don't know how much more I can talk about Parks and Rec, so go.
Yeah, oh, no, I was wondering if there were other things. Oh, okay. Well, Bryn and I have been watching... Thank you, there. Okay. Oh, thank God. So, we've been watching Star Trek The Next Generation. Jenna... I've talked about it on this podcast. I had forgotten the Barkley episode. The one that introduces...
The Muppet Dog?
Yes. Huh? Yes, Salsa. Big Bird's best friend, Barkley.
No,
Barkley is the dog.
Yes.
Big Bird's best friend is Snuffleupagus.
Well, I suppose Snuffy is also Big Bird's best friend. You can have more than one best friend. Barkley.
Best
Barkley, the giant Muppet dog.
Superlative. There is an apex.
Well, each best friend can be best at a particular type of friendship.
No,
what is the best food, Salsa?
Pasta.
Steak.
And what's the best pasta?
Pasta.
Okay. Okay. Is marinara sauce better than Alfredo sauce?
No.
Okay. All right. I think we've all learned something very important here today. So, I think his name is like Roger Barkley, and he's just awkward as fuck, and they find out that he's having fantasies about crew members on the holodeck.
Right. I forgot about that, yeah.
And it's real, real gross. And I'm sure that it was gross in the 1980s or like very early 90s whenever that episode landed. But also, it is extremely troubling. It's, I think, the only episode where we have not been able to watch the entirety of it, where we were both like, skip this one? Maybe we just don't. Reg Barkley. Yeah. We just don't watch this one. We just
so you
quit
don't
this
know
one
how
halfway.
He got his comeuppance?
I mean, no, in the episode he gets confronted and they have a conversation over, you know, his things. Issues and stuff like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is odd to watch. And a little unnerving and kind of creepy. But I also do think it's a good episode in that it brings up things to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but yeah, no, I understand how you could be like, you know what? This is hitting certain buttons for me, and
yep,
I'm just
that's the one.
Made doubly
exactly
awkward,
that, Jenna.
Made doubly awkward by the fact that it was a big Muppet dog.
Right. Exactly, Salsa.
Creepy.
So, eating fettuccine for some reason. And no, this last weekend was the weekend that Bryn and I celebrated our third anniversary together.
Yay!
And so we rented a suite, an hotel suite.
Did you get a suite?
It was. Yeah, it had a hot tub. It was glorious. And then, because it was in my childhood home, kind of, city, the city where I grew up, I took her around and showed her all the places that I hung out as a Ute, and we ordered the pizza that was, like, my childhood family's most favorite pizza. And it was pretty glorious. We just stayed inside. We just didn't. We just hung out and played video games and read books.
Date night in COVID.
Basically, but like also, yeah, we were sitting there. We were playing video games and reading and all of that stuff. And she was like, "This is like, I'm sorry, we could have done this at home." And I was like, "No, we would be cleaning." Or doing shit. Like, we would have activities. We would have no excuse but to do things around the apartment. So
this is the difference between you and me.
Yeah. That's one of them. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I was about to say, the great difference.
Yeah. So, that's what we were up to.
Yeah.
Good. Boy, what happened? Got my herded.
Oh.
Yeah. What else?
Bye.
Yeah.
Justin.
Yay, Justin.
Oh, my daughter's birthday. That happened.
Yeah.
All right.
Way to bury the lead.
Happy birthday.
I mean, what it her birthday was a COVID birthday, you know. It was her right. On a Zoom chat with her friends, you know. It wasn't exactly the most memorable thing for me. But you know, she got her scooter, two wheeled scooter that she really really wanted, and was very happy. It was tough doing a birthday, you know.
Yeah.
Distant.
Yeah.
But yeah, she had a birthday. And, oh, we went to the zoo yesterday. That was a thing.
Oh yeah.
Night.
The Minnesota Zoo is doing limited access, so like you. Mm-hmm. They have a limited number of tickets that you can get for each time slot. So, like, there's an 11 o'clock time slot, and, like, they have 50 tickets, or some, you know, I don't, whatever number. And then they have an 11:30 time slot, and there's 50 tickets. And then a 12 o'clock time slot, and there's 50 tickets, or whatever. So people kind of trickle in and out, as opposed to, you know, showing up in a big mass. And then everything is like a one-way trip through the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the zoo is kind of a big circle. You know what I mean? And they kind of start you off this direction, and you just kind of go around the circle, and then when you get back to the entrance, you leave. You know, and so everything is one way. You know, if somebody's moving particularly fast, you just step aside and let them pass. So it was a good, you know, good socially distanced, but still being able to get out. And nothing indoors, like the indoor stuff was mostly shut. So this was an outdoor, you know, thing. We went on Sunday, which was less hot than Saturday. But it was actually quite lovely. They have redone the tiger enclosure a little bit. It is gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. So, I recommend that. Go to the Minnesota Zoo.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Minnesota Zoo is rad. That sounds like an awesome time.
It was. Yeah. It genuinely
did
was.
Did they have red pandas?
I don't think the Minnesota Zoo has red pandas. Do they? I don't know if they do.
I mean, that was the last place I saw red pandas.
It's possible they do, and but I guess red pandas would be.
Like, when I saw them, they had them in the giant tropical.
Yeah, and we couldn't go to the tropical area.
So. Ah.
Okay.
Like, we had to do the outside loop.
Hmm.
We couldn't go into the the sea water area. No, actually, like the little fish area with like the petting zoo for the sharks. Like you could go through that area.
Okay.
Like they had that into a horse shape. You couldn't pet the sharks, that was off limits, but you could kind of horseshoe your way through that part of the building before you exited the building.
Okay.
But yeah, the like the big building with the seals and stuff like that, you couldn't go in there, and the tropical area, and the Northwoods Trail, we couldn't go in there. And
I mean, that kind of makes sense, yeah,
because that whole area is a lot more enclosed.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
But we did. We got to see the tigers, and we saw the, you know, the ponies and the llamas and stuff like that.
Nice.
Good time. What do you think? Should we take a break?
I'm up
for
it.
Yeah, I need to pee.
All right, let's do that. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
So I'm sad and disappointed with myself as a human being.
You should be.
Wow, you're mean to me tonight. I don't like you tonight. You're being a jerk.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Salsa, what you been playing?
I haven't.
What?
Oh. For real?
No, I really haven't.
Oh.
been doing a lot of reading. I watched Warrior Nun.
Oh,
that was fun.
How is that?
It's
I'm
fun.
I'm curious about it.
It's
yeah.
It's just like, as long as you don't expect it to be a, you know, cinematic, you know, work of art, and you know, like, you know, it's not The Godfather, but it's fun, you know.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are well done and that I would say are practically The Godfather, I caught the live performance of Murder on the Mississippi.
I also got that.
Yeah. Jenna, do you want to...
It was absolutely delightful. I was going to wait to bring that up until later.
Ah.
I mean, because it's later
now. Well, they're doing
now.
An encore. They're doing an encore shot this coming Friday.
So,
yes,
so I was
going to
wrap it in my plug.
So no spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely not. I wouldn't anyway.
No, sure.
But,
yeah, okay.
James, it's a good provisor.
We'll hold on to that for
That's
later.
True. Yeah, sure.
I am into book 6, I think, of the Talto series now.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
6 or 7. One, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think 6. 7. Maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up. But, yeah, thoroughly enjoying them, as I did last time
Good.
Around.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just between that, I've been... My wife and I have been watching a... So we already both enjoyed a lot of British panel shows and stuff. But
sure.
We've lately kind of fallen down the rabbit hole of some of the, like, compilations on the internet.
Mm.
Like, mm-hmm. the best of such and such a person on Would I Lie to You.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know, the best of such and such on QI. Or, you know, the best mm-hmm. of this person on, you know, whatever. And you know...
Third example.
Like, there's one that's, like, 90 minutes of... The Mock the Week. The Mock the Week closes every episode with basically an episode what's the game? What's the improv game where you step forward?
A line game?
World's Worst. That's the word I'm thinking.
World's Worst. Oh, okay.
They close every episode of Mock the Week with basically a little, you know, 5-minute game of World's Worst. And this was a 90-minute supercut of just the World's Worst from Mock the Week. It was fantastic.
That sounds amazing.
It was so good. So fucking good. I sat and watched the whole thing front to back. It made me so happy.
Right. Are you going to link it in the show notes?
I can do that. I'll try to remember to do that. So yeah, just but like, there's a British personality by the name of Bob Mortimer,
mm-hmm.
and he like his supercut of all of his appearances on Would I Lie to You is amazing.
Oh,
because like. There's just this string of more and more ridiculous scenarios, and they're all true. And it's just like, what? It's just ridiculous. The weird shit that man has done in his life. Like they have the. You know, like they have the cartoons, the commercials of like the most interesting man in the world. You know, for the what is that?
Dos Equis.
Yeah, Dos Equis. Like Bob Mortimer is actually that guy. Just because all of the weird shit that he's done in his life,
sure,
is just like nobody has done all of those things.
Yeah. Did you know that the actor that they got for the most interesting man in the world is actually a pretty fucking interesting
the
dude?
The old one or the new
just
one?
As a,
The old one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Drove around in a Jeep working on detecting landmines with his beautiful wife. And, like, just, like, is actually a pretty fucking fascinating guy. As an aside, my apologies.
Sure, no.
So, you're watching supercuts of Would I Lie to You?
Yeah, Would I Lie to You and QI and you know, Mock the Week and various other British panel shows. Huh. And they're just fantastic. And if you haven't... If you have not watched any of the Big Fat Quiz...
Oh, yeah.
Then your life is incomplete.
My life is incomplete.
Your life... Well, I mean, we already knew this, Jenna, but...
Oh my God! What are you mean to me tonight?
Because you haven't watched any of the Big Fat Quiz.
Like,
this is pretty easily rectified. It's not like you're going anywhere.
Yeah. I got yoga things to do now, bitch.
That's true.
Okay, so what are you going to do for the other 23 hours and 45 minutes of the day?
Work? Sleep?
Raise a child?
Well, no, she's an adult.
I was going to say, yeah. I was going to correct that,
Masks for people that don't have the ability to do that for themselves and to hand out and to donate to hospitals.
Run the world.
See, this is the difference between you and me.
Is that people trust her to do things?
Yeah.
Both of you, when alone at home, are like, I'm going to accomplish things, and I'm alone at home going, well, I guess I'll play some video games and read a book.
I guess I'll build a deck or a patio or whatever, but only after I dig a trench to get rid of the... Whatever. Fuck no. Yeah. No.
Salsa,
no.
I believe you are as complicit in this as any of us.
You a lot of your household project shit. You just did it all in one weekend.
There's that.
I suppose I shouldn't tell you about what's currently drying. The varnish is drying in my backyard right now, but anyway.
You varnished your backyard?
No.
Is this a euphemism?
I for Father's Day, I got a router.
Ooh. A router, not a router.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the woodworking router.
Yeah. Yeah. Not an internet router.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'm making
things. I saw James go, what? Yeah. Why would you varnish a router? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm not varnishing the router, but yeah. But we don't talk about that.
No.
So anyway, what did you varnish?
Truth.
Oh God. Would you let Salsa talk? I mean, I don't often say that, but what you let Salsa talk?
I'm making a
I'm
hat
curious.
Rack.
Oh, nice.
I have some really nice, expensive hats. You know me. I have some very nice hats, and so I have never liked putting them anywhere in the house because nowhere is really like safe that'll take care of the hat in the way
that
a hat like that should be cared for. You can't just put it on a hook, you know, because a little hook will
surely not
dent the felt, you know, and you can't put it flat on a table or anything like that because that'll deform the brim, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm making, you know, a hat rack for my nice hats that mm-hmm. will treat them well. So
it's 1,000 little salsa head models on pylons of some kind, all varnished.
Huh. I see.
No? Is that not the case?
Anyway,
how is this different from a regular hat rack then?
That's what I've So the knobs on top. Okay, oh, that wasn't a serious question. Fuck you all. I just
wanted to hear him say knobs. That's
okay. I want to know how it's different, Salsa.
So the top, instead of coming to a point or even a ball, it has a flattened surface that flares at the bottom so that it supports the top of the hat. And it also has a larger curve to it. So instead of coming to a point, which will poke, you know, a point up into the felt, the felt can rest on the curve.
This makes sense.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does.
So.
I am very happy for you, Sosa.
Yeah, I wasn't even going to talk
about it. No matter what Tim says.
But yeah, you did get me on the project.
Ah, thing. Victory is mine.
Speaking of projects, I have convinced.
You come from the projects?
No, certainly not. I would never make that claim. Yeah.
Murder, disco, housing.
Well, so, before that, I actually did come from an apartment complexy type area that was basically project.
Yeah.
Off of Maryland, you guys. It was actually not too far from where Bryn used to live.
Not too far from where I used to live. So there's
that was like 40 years ago. So a little different. It's better in that neighborhood now.
I convinced friend of the podcast Merritt to purchase a set of electric bagpipes.
Oh, I knew this.
Which are a PC board soldering kit. And because they do not have much soldering experience, they purchased what is called wire glue, which is basically just like a solder epoxy.
Yep.
I already have a soldering kit, but I did not have a soldering station with third hands, little third hand clips.
Do you need some?
So I bought one of those.
Oh, okay.
And I've just received it. It's got a little magnifier, a spot for the soldering iron to rest, and a light, and all kinds of crazy crap on it. And we have an appointment, a meeting, if you will, to assemble small, stupid electronic bagpipes with which to annoy the world.
I think your first stop should be Salsa's house.
Yeah, first and last. Yeah.
That's for being mean to me.
It's tough but fair.
I mean, do they sound like bagpipes or do they not sound like bagpipes?
We have no idea yet. Okay. It's so exciting.
I assume even if they sound like bagpipes, these two will not know how to play them appropriately.
Oh, definitely.
Not right off the bat. Though.
Yeah.
They will need to practice, and it is so good of you to volunteer.
I'm sure my kids will love it.
Actually, probably.
Yeah. Bryn has made me swear that I will not practice them in the house. Mm.
I thought you were just going to stop after swear.
No. No. it is not like stubbing one's toe on a coffee table. So I'm very excited about it. I'm very excited about building these things with them. Should be good.
No, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were purchased surplus. So, yeah. I don't know why anybody would have a surplus of electronic bagpipes. That just seems useful.
Axeman?
I found out that American Science and Surplus and Axeman are cousins. They share materials and...
This doesn't surprise me at all.
Employees and things and stock. It's kind of amazing.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
American Science and Surplus
I have a friend that works at Axeman and he's never worked with the other company, so... I mean, maybe, but maybe higher up the chain.
I feel like I'm guessing a lot of the like surplus stores get their stuff from a lot of the same suppliers.
I would assume that much, yeah.
Or that they like move their merchandise around between those
exactly to where folks. Yeah. I would assume a lot of them work together more than some other stores would.
I mostly fell in love with American Science and Surplus for the same reason that I fell in love with visiting the Axeman stores, and that is the slightly shitty quality of their item cartoons and the terrible jokes.
Yep, the puns.
The absolutely miserable jokes that are inside. Yeah.
Yes.
We also received
James. I know other professional punsters.
That's
just
true.
In sign writing.
That's amazing. That's flippin' fantastic.
Yeah, not if you're me, but, you know, whatever.
Also true. We also received, because we ordered, a set of Doctor Who salt and pepper shakers.
Ooh. Are they both shaped like Daleks?
One of them is a Dalek.
I was going to say TARDIS.
The other one is the TARDIS. You are both correct.
See, I want one that's white and one that's black.
That's fair.
That's racist.
Daleks are salty, so the salt goes in there, and of course, Dr. Pepper, obvious choice.
I like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only problem is, I would put vodka in there now.
Hmm. Oh, vodka Dr. Pepper, yeah.
It holds a surprising amount of salt and pepper.
Really surprising?
Well, it's because
like, who is this surprising?
There we go. Thank you, Jenna.
Okay. You're welcome.
I appreciate the pickup.
Allow me to push up my glasses a little bit more.
Yup.
that was awful. That was awful.
Yep.
Thanks. Yeah.
I am, speaking of Doctor Who, I am nearing the end of Colin Baker's run.
Ooh.
I am.
And
I think
you have sent the DVD to Bree.
Three episodes.
Yeah, that's. That's well close, yeah.
And then it's. Who is next? Sylvester McCoy? I think? After that? Yeah. Anyway.
I'm new who.
Yep. That probably.
I mean, I've seen a few old.
That won't be until I get back from Yellowstone, though, probably.
Who's next? Yes.
I've been drinking. That shouldn't be funny.
Yeah, especially because he's the doctor.
Who?
He's not who.
Who is?
That, yeah, all right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna, what you been playing or reading or watching or...
I mean, I've been playing a couple of games. One of the games that I've been playing, it's all phone games right now. But I've been playing, I think it's called 3D Tangle Master.
Is this the one like with the pegs on the top and bottom and you got to untangle the rope?
That's it, exactly.
Oh, I saw the ads for that and it looked like the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
I love untangling yarn or rope or necklaces or whatever.
I could see that being very soothing.
There is something, like, I love having my little fringy blanket right here with the fringe that I can untangle when it gets all tangled up. Like, there's something... and I think it's a tactile thing for me. It's a tactile,
yeah.
Functional... Yeah, you know, part of that area of my brain that's weird.
So it sounds like less of a game and more of a like busy work fidgety thing.
Kind of, yeah. I mean there is some logic involved in trying to figure out which rope to do at which time to be able to get the thing to go.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of like maze logic.
Sure.
Where do you go to get the thing done?
Okay.
But other than that, yeah, no, it is kind of low key. It's kind of like Flow Free,
right?
Where it's not it's a puzzle, but it's a low key puzzle, and you're just kind of making everything happen.
Yeah.
I've been
like
playing that because I haven't
ropes.
Really wanted to put my brain into much of anything.
Sure.
I've been playing another game that's like, well, I was telling you guys about this earlier. I don't know if it got on the podcast. I don't think so. But the word soup, I think this one's called mm-hmm. Wordy Word because they're really creative. but it's just, you know, like several letters and you try to make as many words as possible out of those letters.
Yeah.
Very, very bottle-like. Yeah. This one's supposed to give me cash prizes.
Like actual human cash prizes or like digital Zimbabwe cash? Dollars.
It's supposed to give me US American dollar into my PayPal account.
I
have not connected my PayPal account.
Oh, so you have unclaimed this Nigerian prince is trying to give you money.
That's what I'm wondering. Like, I haven't done it yet. Well, and you have to get to $50 before you can cash out. And, like, right now I'm at 47. So I'm debating whether or not I'm actually going to cash out. Because then I'll have to connect my PayPal account.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Right. This is in my brain. Listeners, if anybody has done this, please let me know your experiences. I assume I'm the only one that's stupid enough to even install this game, let alone contemplate giving out my PayPal info. However, that's possible. I've played that. I've played a little bit of Lily's Garden.
What is Lily's Garden?
I don't know anything about that.
That one is a... it's not the select... like the swap things. It's not the Candy Crush swap things to make a row to get rid of it.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
It's more of the when you've got a bunch of bricks of the same color in a section, you can turn them into bombs or rockets.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. One of those, like, yeah.
I don't know what you call that, but it's that type of game, and then you build up your stars or your whatevers.
I mean, I know what I call it, but...
Huh?
I said, I know what I call it, but I don't know if that's a waste of time.
As opposed to other games? Why are you being such a dick?
Again, I said, I know what I call it.
I think he stubbed his wiener on a coffee table.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah.
Ow, I'm sorry, man. Okay,
what?
You're forgiven. What? Anyway, but if you collect all of these, you collect a couple of stars and then you progress through a story of renovating a house.
Sure, yeah.
So you use the stars to get to the next part of the story and then you can
do
whatever.
The stars align?
Huh?
Do the stars align?
Kind of.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And I like the story's enjoyable. The character conversation is actually delightful.
Mm-hmm.
A little silly, but delightful.
Fair enough.
There's a single dad involved in the story, so of course I'm just like, oh. other things along the way, but yeah, I got to a certain point in that game, and it's like it's not a pay to play. But I'm having problems getting past this one puzzle, and then you run out of lives, and you're like, oh, if only I had one more life.
Mm-hmm.
I could buy that life, but don't. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've been playing. I've been reading more cartoon history.
Good.
Ooh, tell me more.
Yeah. I got a cartoon history of the United States.
Interesting.
Right now, I am in the middle of the Revolutionary War. It did spend the first 75 pages talking about, colonization and types of things that were done to the natives and how slavery was introduced to the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
But it's so much easier to read about in cartoon form.
So these are like political cartoons, or?
No, it's just like a comic book that goes through the history of stuff.
Oh, okay.
Like Cartoon History of the Universe, I think is the first first three books.
Yeah,
I see. So it's not a history of cartoons. It's a it's a history book in cartoon form.
Yep. No, it's Charlie Brown, but they address why Franklin is the only black kid.
Oh God.
That's actually a really interesting story.
It is.
That's beside the point.
But yeah. So I'm reading through that, and then I'll jump back to Modern History Part 1 and 2. Hmm. I enjoy the cartoon history books because it is easier to read about. History is full of shitty things, you guys. I don't know if you were aware. There's a lot of
history major.
I know. There's a lot of shitty things that happen throughout history.
Oh yeah.
And it does not matter what part of the world you're in.
Nope.
It was just people are dicks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, reading through history in cartoon form, and with the pattern, the way he goes about describing these things, makes it very, very palatable.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. Easier to digest. He does not skim over the gravity of anything. But there's something about cartoons, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, it's easier to look at it from a more objective. These are the things that happen, kind of standpoint. So, yeah, I like it. Plus, he's clever.
Cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
I'm for it.
For her birthday, my daughter got a couple of the Harry Potter books in graphic novel form. So she's been reading those.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
If she gets a bit older, I might gift her the cartoon history of the world stuff.
Hmm.
Or at least let her borrow it.
Sure.
Because they do talk about death and sex and things like that, so...
And my daughter has a ton of anxiety issues.
Yeah.
Like, we're actually discussing putting her into therapy for some of that, just because her anxiety is crippling. So...
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe not.
Yeah. I'll let you decide if and when she's ready for them. But they are a great overview.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend for general use ages like 10 to 12. Be a good time to read through them.
Cool.
Personally, but also you guys saw how I wrote raised Jessa. So
oh, absolutely, yeah.
There's that.
I don't know. I might parent differently than you.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot that we're hiding from Lilibeth per se. It's just that she is very, very, very empathetic and sensitive and you know, has anxiety and
yeah.
metering that stuff to her in a more palatable way and a palatable tempo is important.
I mean, yeah. Jessa is the one that broke down in a tears after eating her goldfish.
The crackers?
Her goldfish crackers.
Yeah.
Because she had assigned them personalities and was playing with them, and then she ate them, and then she cried because she ate her goldfish friends.
Yeah.
I get that.
No, this is like not being able to sleep at night and having indecision issues and stuff like that.
So, I get that, too.
Yeah.
Anyway,
did I ever tell you that
I room down? I'm sorry.
Spent.
Oh my God, salsa!
There was a night in like third grade where I
in Paris,
accidentally
James.
Invented communism, and I was so enthralled with this idea of how the world could be a better place if people just had what they needed and did the work that they were supposed to, and I. Told my dad about it, and he was like, "No, that's already a thing, and it doesn't work."
One of my, I'm
still stuck on invented communism. That's like Columbus discovering America.
I understand what he meant. I'm gonna for obvious reasons. I'm using very vague words here, but one of my wife's students at a while back discovered Marx. And Lenin and stuff like that and became holy shit like socialist.
Oh my God.
Like was reading Nietzsche and you know marks and yeah.
I could read Nietzsche. Like, I think I tried and I was like,
No, he was all reading right. A lot of philosophers and socialist manifestos and stuff like that, and it was it was very obvious in his English papers that he was being very radicalized.
Yes, I approve.
Huck Finn would have been better if Huck had seized the means of production.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we take a break?
Yeah.
I'm up for it.
All right, we'll do it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. You know how this works.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Basically, and never Mark Twain shall meet.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I would love to meet Mark Twain.
James.
I'm Jenna.
Nice.
And we should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from Mr. Mud.
Yay, hey, Mud. Hi.
Mud writes, "Good evening, AONers." That's yep. Hope
not AONers.
I mean. Hope all is well with you during these crazy times. Let's get ready to rumble! Ding, ding! This is all written, yes, by the way.
Okay. Oh, good.
Alright. Question number one. Frozen or Frozen 2?
Oh, shit. Well, I cried more during Frozen 2.
That's, yeah.
Because of that one goddamn moment in song.
Fuck, yeah.
Yeah.
We laughed like lunatics during the Lost in the Woods thing.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The 80s butt rock. So I have to go with Frozen 2.
My wife and I are howling, and my kids are like, what? Let's go ahead. Why are you laughing so much?
I like Jess's reaction of, that's cute. Like she knew what was happening, but like because it wasn't a part of her soul, she was like,
right.
That's cute.
Only 80s kids.
See, the thing is like he started singing, and as soon as hit the musical break, I was like, I am the man who will fight for your honor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, my wife and I just got done watching Disney Plus has the making of Frozen 2.
Ooh.
It's like a 6-episode series.
Ooh.
And it is pretty fucking good. Cause there are parts that they go through some of the animators and the choreographer, or not the choreographers, the composers for various things, and the director and the producer and the writer and all these various things and just like the song in that Show Yourself was almost cut.
Oh,
what?
Into the Unknown?
No, Show Yourself.
Oh,
like Show Yourself when she becomes the Ice Queen.
Oh, like, yeah.
That song was almost cut because they couldn't figure out how to make it work. Because the way they had it and the way the story was at that point in time, it didn't work. And they were like, there was a couple meetings where they were like, "We're not going to have the camera in the meeting today." And then they closed the door and like, we don't know what happened behind closed doors, except they came back out and were like, "We might have to cut this one," you know, and like various other things. And they talked about The guy mm-hmm. who played the general or the lieutenant or whatever he is that was trapped.
Sure.
The guy with the voice, like his song, he had a song and it was cut. So he didn't have any songs in the final, and he was like, they had him come in for a recording session, and they were like, okay, you know, we've got some lines for you, and he goes, and a song, and they were like, no song.
Oh,
you know,
no.
And like all of those moments are there, and you know, but then like, but then they have the triumph of, you know, like they finally. The composers like spent a 14-hour day like reworking things, and the story changed a little bit, and they had to like, so we finally made a decision on this plot point, and once we have a decision on this plot point, then we brought this element in, and you know, and they brought in, because the lullaby that they sang at the beginning, like they brought that into the song, and suddenly now we had this thing that made everything else work, and now the song worked out great. But until that, it was like on the razor's edge for getting cut. Just, you know, some of the actors coming in, watching Josh Gad improvise a bunch of lines, and like they had a screening, one of these like surprise screenings, where people come into a theater and they don't even know that it's a Disney movie. They're just like, you're going to see a movie that's not finished, and we're going to give you cards afterwards that you're going to fill out. And like after that, they were like, yeah, we got, like, there was one animator who was like, yeah, I just spent 2 weeks on this 3-second, you know, clip, and now it's been cut.
Shit.
So right as of this moment, everything I've animated for this movie so far is not in the movie.
Oh,
you know, like all, and this has been in production for months, you know, just so yeah. So after we got done watching that, then we watched Frozen 2, and it was fucking amazing.
That sounds fucking awesome.
So because of that, I'm saying Frozen 2. I'm sorry, I got really sidetracked.
Someone got excited.
I did. Okay. It was really that.
How dare you?
That is something we watched. Going back to the earlier conversation, and I'm going to highly recommend it.
All right.
Okay.
Yes. How dare you sidetrack the conversation, Salsa?
I know. I'm such an asshole. Anyway.
Yes, but not because of that.
Right.
Anyway, James, you said Frozen.
Frozen 2.
You said 2.
Because of Lost in the Woods.
Right. Okay.
And then that's right. Crying, we hurt from laughing.
Oh, it was so good.
Oh. Yeah, no, I don't cry massive amounts. I have a lot lately because look at the world. But yeah, right. Overall, I don't cry much, especially for movies. But oh, buddy, I cried like a fucking baby.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a really good movie. Okay, yeah, question number 2. Woo! Elmo or Mickey Mouse?
Elmo.
Elmo.
Okay. Oh, God.
Mickey Mouse is a lot less irritating. I loved Elmo back in, like, original Sesame Street, and this is my, like, get-off-my-fucking-lawn Muppets thing. Oh. Elmo became too big of a deal and was obnoxious.
Oh, so you're hipster about Elmo.
See, I have...
kind of.
Elmo, I have Elmo PTSD. Perpetual traumatic disorder. because Jessa used to watch Elmo's World on fucking repeat.
Ooh.
I can sing the end. La 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 la
la la la la, la. Elmo's
World. La 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 Elmo's World.
Yep,
chilling.
Yep.
It's not as great.
You can stop.
Anyway, so I'm going to go with Elmo. It's more annoying.
I feel like Mickey has more range.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah?
Mickey can be a Mouseketeer, and Mickey can be a sailor, and Mickey can be a, you know, a Bob Cratchit, and Elmo Kane.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. Potty training or moving to a twin-sized bed?
Potty training was way harder.
Potty training way harder. My kids love moving to the big boy bed.
Maybe it's like, what is the bigger sign of growing up?
Oh, that's a good one.
And like, potty training is a thing, but like having your first big human bed that isn't a crib.
No, even if it's that, I'm going to say potty training because there's a lot of function that we as adults take for granted, that trying to explain that, and I think it's the first time kids actually have to conceptualize outside of what's in front of them to be able to work with their body and their internal muscles and stuff. Yeah, I'm still going potty training.
Jeez.
Agreed.
Yeah. Because that's kind of an autonomy thing, I suppose.
Where you sleep is just moving from one surface to another. Being able to control your bodily functions is.
I would say in actuality, potty training is a bigger step, both because of the complexity and also because of the autonomy that it offers, and like the change in thinking about yourself and your insights. I agree with Jenna. For the child, I think the bed might be a bigger deal. I don't remember.
Oh no! When a kid finally goes in the potty and is so exultant about that, like, that's a huge moment.
Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they announce that to the world.
Oh boy, howdy! And do they? In fact, I'm pretty sure I remember each of your children telling me that they went to the potty up by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
On several various occasions.
Speaking of which, my nephew is 16 today.
And he hasn't potty trained yet? Oh.
I'm sorry, but did he move into a twin bed?
Not yet. Oh. Soon.
Not until he potty... Okay.
Right, no, exactly. Yeah, cool. The crib is waterproof. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And almost full, so it's about time.
Yeah.
God.
Question number four. Vegetable or ground meat?
Ground meat.
Oh, it's meat.
Meat.
Meat
always.
Is meat.
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 I mean, I'm definitely, especially after a weekend of grilling with Joe, I'm definitely leaning meat. Although, I wasn't, when we went down to... Casey, like, we had so much barbecue at one point, it was like, Joe, I need a salad.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
I need leafy greens in my face. Can we go get leafy greens? I believe I have more ground beef in my freezer right now than I do frozen vegetables.
That's a good metric.
All right. Sticking with your answer, Dan?
Yeah.
All right. Question number five. James.
Oh.
Or salsa?
Salsa? Salsa has two kids and a marriage.
I would rather my kids turn out more like James than more like me.
Oh. Oh. Yes and no.
Oh no, James, don't awe. It's not because I like you, it's just how much I hate me.
Yeah. That's still sweet in a way.
Who would I rather have hanging out with Jessa for a weekend? I'm going to say James. Because they already have a pretty well established Smash Brothers relationship. They've basically hung out together for for a weekend before.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, like, I think Salsa and Jessa, if they were to hang out for a weekend, would pretty much just ignore each other, which would be fine with both of them.
I was actually going to say the exact same thing. We would probably just ignore each other for the whole time.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go James on this one.
Okay. Mud says best wishes, Mud. Now we open up this. Of course, this is the moment where my internet goes slow. Here we go. It says, ooh, this is addressed to James. I know you don't have kids, but I was wanting to see what other parents' thoughts were on changes going on in my mini-me's life right now. A mud puddle.
Aww.
I am sure you guessed some of the context on these. I am sure a few of these will have your own fun stories with your own kids. All right. Question number one, Frozen or Frozen 2, which is the superior Frozen movie? We have watched both of them about 100 times. Mud Puddle has a crush on Anna, we think.
Aww.
That's adorable and appropriate.
I honestly am going to change to the first one. I feel like the first one is just a more fully realized story, and it takes the Snow Queen story and really turns it on its head with the love being the sisters' love, as
I
opposed
like
to between, what is in the original? It's like Greta and Ari or something like that. You know, being a like a friendship love, but like the sister love, you know, thing. Frozen 2 is a fantastic movie, but I think it's more of an adventure than that, like that first one of that fully realized story of familial, you know, sister love.
I have a hard time saying either of them is the best one.
Yeah,
honestly. No,
they're both fantastic.
I think that the first one dealt with the sisterly love thing and manipulation, actually, really fucking well.
Oh, yeah.
But the second one dealt with death in a way that was both powerful but not overwhelming.
That's
very, very real.
Yeah.
So it didn't, like, downplay any of it, but it was still age-appropriate, and that's impressive as fuck all.
Very much so, yeah.
So, yeah, I have a real hard time comparing between the two. I think for me as a person, Frozen 2 just hit harder for me. I don't have a sister. but I think that they're both equally good movies. And don't ever ask me that again.
No, that's fair. That is completely fair. Those are good.
Yeah.
All right.
Well reasoned.
Question number two, Elmo or Mickey Mouse? Ooh, which annoying voiced character do you find harder to block out?
Well done.
When
you
not
both
watching either of the Frozen movies, Mudpuddle loves Elmo or Mickey Mouse. Mudpuddle calls Mickey Mouse Cupca, not sure why.
Huh.
I find Elmo harder to block out.
Way harder.
Yep.
Yeah.
So much harder.
Mickey Mouse has fully formed sentences and grown-up autonomy.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we're in agreement on that one. Question number three, potty training or moving to a twin-size bed? Which step during the growth of your toddler did you find more challenging?
Hey, good call, Jenna.
Mudpuddle is asking to go potty, but is not doing anything yet, but an older friend is using the potty at daycare. So this was making Puddle curious. And we were just ordered a twin bed for little man. He has tried to climb out of the crib a few times, and he's using a small mattress on the floor when he sleeps at grandma's house. Again, for both of my kids, the moving to the twin bed was easy as pie. They were both like, yes, my big kid bed. You know, they were happy as pump to be able to do that. The potty training for Lilibeth was really easy. She saw other kids at school doing it and was like, I'm doing that. And that was kind of the end of it. Asher was real tough, though.
Yeah, Jessa was pretty tricky with the potty training. I'm not going to lie. The bed thing, like, she was... This is a child that was walking on her own by 9 months.
Yeah.
Like, come on, running by 9 months. So she was climbing out of her crib, like, a little over one.
Yeah, Lilibeth also.
Like, so, yeah, I was just like, if I don't move her to a bed, she's going to hurt herself. Like, this is just happening now.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I lowered the mattress as far as I could because I didn't have the money for a twin at that point. And then got her one of those race car beds.
Aww.
She was way too fucking tiny for a twin, even.
Yeah.
She was so fucking tiny when she was like, nah, I want to be able to get out of bed. Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna do it. So, yeah, like, I did manage to get her one of those little race car bed things.
Aww.
But, yeah. And then Twin was just like, oh, yay, it's another bed, but bigger. I can put more stuffed animals on it. Like, that was, yeah. Basically it.
Oh, yeah. Asher's bed is one quarter sleeping area and three quarters stuffed animals.
Oh, yeah. A nest.
Yep.
That's how it works. This is how you child.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, Jess's bed is still like that.
All right, question number four, vegetable or ground meat? Which food time did you have a harder time getting your kids to eat first? Mud Puddle will eat some meat, but not ground meat, and very few veggies.
Huh.
Oh, my kids...
Jess didn't have a problem with either.
Neither. My kids love veggies. Give them when we give them asparagus or Brussels sprouts or, you know, whatever, they're like, yes, I want more of that. Asher will go through fruit like there's nobody's business. Neither one of them had any problem with ground meat. Lilibeth doesn't like the texture of mashed potatoes.
Huh.
It's too mushy for her.
Sure.
But honestly, kind of got lucky. My kids take for fucking ever to eat.
Every child takes forever.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Constantly reminding them to eat is the problem, but they don't.
No.
They don't like refuse foods categorically, with the exception of Lilibeth not liking mashed potatoes. So I guess vegetable, just because of that.
Yeah, I really cannot say either. Like, she never had problems with any vegetables. She never hated any vegetables. There was no ground beef she wouldn't touch. She used to eat, when she was teething, I would give her frozen carrots.
Aww.
Because that's great. They can hold on to it and gnaw on it and feels good on the gums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She also liked frozen okra.
Oh, we get kale in our imperfect foods box, and my wife makes kale chips, and those two fucking suck those down so fast, it's not even funny. Which is fine because I don't eat those at all, and so they do.
I think kale chips are amazing. Have you tried putting a little hot sauce on them for yours?
No.
Oh, and it's good.
It's not.
Okay. I think we have a long-standing tradition of my food choices being very weird, so I'll accept that.
Yeah, I know what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, question number five. Okay, well, I think we got pretty close to this here. James or Salsa? Would you prefer your toddler to be sociable and wanting to be around other people, or antisocial and keep to themselves?
One's which?
Mud Puddle has no stranger danger right now, and that scares us a little, but it is also cute when he says hi to everyone when we were in public.
Aww.
Short story. When we went to Ashland last summer, Mud Puddle went around and shook the hands with all the senior citizens he saw and said hi. Aww.
Oh my god.
It's real, real, real adorable.
I mean, clearly my answer is going to be James. I am fairly antisocial, but a lot of that comes from a place of anxiety. And not having patience for other people's bullshit, and that's probably not the
healthiest. And yet you're on this podcast. And,
well, yeah, well, this is... So... So my wife and I are going to therapy. Just because because we are completely... You know, and... Let everyone mind at rest. Our marriage is not in trouble or anything like that. You know, we're not having problems. This is just...
Doesn't have to be.
I'm just letting people know.
Yeah.
No warning flags here.
Yeah.
But we're just doing therapy as a couple because we do communicate drastically different, you know. And you know, we are talking about, you know, the ways that I communicate versus the way she communicates and just learning about how I... don't communicate with other people well, and it did kind of like the therapist was honestly having kind of a hard time just wrapping her head around how antisocial I am in my normal daily life, and then I go out and swallow swords on the weekends, you know, and it was kind of this idea of there's me and then there's a performing me, and those are two different people. Almost, you know.
those two are divorced. Wait, I didn't mean to say divorced. Wait, hang on.
No, it's just, you know, they split up and then I didn't mean to say that either.
Oh God.
No, I just need to stop talking because this is the end. No, this isn't the end.
Oh God.
It's a different person when I'm on this podcast, when I'm, you know, I can talk on this podcast, but then I turn off this computer and I don't want to talk to my wife on the phone for fuck's sake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, more like James.
Aw.
Again, James, it's not because I like you. It's because of my self-loathing.
No, I understand.
I mean, I guess, God, I don't even know. I mean, I would say that Jessa is probably more like Salsa overall right now. I'm sure quarantine has kind of also shifted everything into more of that. And even I've been more antisocial because of quarantine pandemic bullshit.
No,
like,
just knowing your daughter, I see that.
Yeah. But she is also a social person, and like, I don't know, I'm glad she has that balance. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna pick me.
Perfect.
Ta-da! Not an option.
Sure.
Good enough for me. Anyway, Mud wraps us up by saying, best wishes, Mud. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one repeat those choices and then give us the contexts. So, who has a shout-out? Apparently no one. Awesome.
Chirp, chirp. Okay, this is going to be weird. I want to give a shout out to Facebook.
Cool.
Yes, I know that Facebook spreads misinformation like fucking COVID on a bad day without a mask, but there is also an awful lot of information that I am getting about the world around me. The ability to connect with people, as tenuous as that is through Facebook, is still existent, as opposed to without Facebook, where I probably would have gone absolutely insane by this point. So yes, recognizing its many, many, many flaws, I'm still going to give a shout out to Facebook. Just for doing some of the things that it does do.
Fair.
I'm going to give my shout out to tools.
I'm right here.
Specifically,
I'm sorry, James is right there.
Specifically, woodworking tools. I'll go a little bit more.
Specifically, woodworking tools.
Specifically,
Jenna is right there.
I was going to say power tools, but that's not entirely accurate either because I do like some hand tools.
Salsa is right there.
Yes. Oh. No, it's okay. I'll wait.
Well, now you just set her off again.
That's cool. I'm just deleting old emails in my email box right now.
All right.
Where were we?
Woodworking
tools. We'll go with woodworking tools. Because I enjoy making things.
Go on.
No, I enjoy making things.
Oh, fair enough.
My medium has always been like growing up on a farm. There was like metalwork and there was woodwork. Those were kind of like the two big, like, umbrellas of creation that you had. Like you either could weld really well or you could do a lot, you know, really good woodworking. And wood has always been of the two much better. Like I'm shit at welding. You know, I can bronze and solder fairly well, but like wood, that's I love working with wood. So I like making things.
I have a shout out.
Yeah?
Yeah. My shout out is to American Science and Surplus, the catalog mentioned earlier. They are the imperfect foods of weird little knickknacks and obscure bits and pieces. It's a mail order axe man. So there you go.
Cool.
All right.
Who's got something to plug?
Oh.
Anyone?
Oh, I have two things. God, fuck you.
No one?
Fuck, man.
Flipping sauce off, flipping
sauce off,
flipping sauce off.
Going once.
Oh my god. Okay. This very Friday, Fearless Comedy Productions is doing an encore performance of their online murder mystery show. Can we call it Murder on the Mississippi? I don't know, but it is done in conjunction with the Mississippi Parks National Park Group, blah blah blah, whatever. And yes, it does mention Mississippi Parks and has a special guest. Oh, so good. So yeah, there is a surprise guest in there. I'm not going to tell you who. You know why? Because you are going to go to Fearless Comedy Productions on Facebook. Go to the event. Go grab those tickets. You do only need one ticket per computer. Unless everybody wants to have their own votes.
Good point.
But otherwise, yes, you can watch it all on one computer and have a spokesperson or whatever. It's fine. But go there, go grab your tickets for this Friday. You're going to do that this Friday because next Friday, Adventurous Artists is finally producing Fringemas.
Yes!
And we have gotten a surprise last-minute group just into the docket at the nick of time. We are going to have Blackout Improv.
Nice.
Yeah. Along with a lot of other really, really good acts. It's hosted by Allison Withern, Shannon Custer, and Duck Washington, previous
Heard
guest, Duck Washington. Mm-hmm. It is going to be a delightful evening. We've got some incredible things in the silent auction, and it is just a week and a half away. So, Friday, the 31st of July, Adventurous Artists, go to Adventurous Artists Facebook group. Say that you're going. We will have all of the information in there as soon as our tech happens this weekend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, still figuring out a couple of last-minute bits on that, but it will all be happening. And I'm so excited. So very excited. We already have a bunch of matching grants. So if you donate during that, your donation will go twice as far. It's going to be a blast, you guys. It's going to be a real good time.
Nice.
So, Adventurous Artists, you can follow us on Facebook, on Instagram, or on Twitter. We also have the website, adventurousartists.com, but Facebook is kind of the primary source of the most direct information right off the bat. So, So there you go.
Cool. James?
That's awesome. That's all I'm plugging.
James, anything?
There is the July show of Vilification Tennis coming up. I believe it is this Friday, and it is a Dong of Ice and Fire.
Oh God!
So there's that.
All right.
It is the Geek Show.
Cool. I am going to plug. The Casimir web store. You can now get Casimir the Hungry face masks.
I saw that.
That's nice. A thing.
I'm a huge fan of the Alive
bubble. I absolutely love that shield.
So good.
It really is. Not only that, but you can get buttons and magnets and stickers of all of my designs as
oh
well.
My.
So, you know, if you don't want to spend the $50 on a backpack or something like that. You can get a $5 button or a $5 magnet or something.
So, and who doesn't like stickers and magnets?
I know, right? So
I need to get some of those. Come to think of it. Yeah.
Anyway, anything else? Final thoughts on anything? James, final thoughts?
Bye, bye, I love you, bye, bye.
Finally hit his mark, my God. If there is nothing else in that case, there is nothing left to do but say thank you to everyone who's been listening. Thank you to Mud for sending in the Fast Five. Woo!
Yay, Mud!
Yay, Mud!
On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.